Dude, we live. We're
we are.
Dude, we're going with this.
You ready?
No, we're going with it.
We're just leaving it in here.
Yeah, we're leaving it in there.
All right, guys. Well, welcome to the Crosswalk Podcast, where real faith meets real life. And speaking of real life, it's been a couple months.
It's been real life. Okay, so I guess the last time you've heard from me, Carrie and I were pregnant.
Yeah.
And was the last time,
last time we had a podcast, I was solo.
The last two times. You did
I did one solo.
I'm pretty sure you did two solo.
I don't know. I know I did one solo.
Or you made you did an interview with somebody, didn't you? By yourself, maybe? No?
I don't think so.
I don't remember. Either way.
It's episode 16, I know that.
Yes. Very excited for that. When you sent me, actually, when you sent me some of like the notes outlines for the interview, I seen it was number 16. I was like, dang, I was like, feels like we've not done that many, but
it really does, especially since we've like I said, had that like 2 month break in there, but you know, we were like, all right, it's time to get back in it. We got a spare minute because there's a bajillion things on the to-do list, and they're just going to be there anyway. So let's just go at it, and let's get one. So,
But it's been good. It's been good. I'm glad. You know,
oh, yeah. Been on vacation.
Yeah, been on vacation. The baby, man, I mean, work's been a little hectic, but, I mean, it's been really, really good. The baby's healthy. Carrie's doing phenomenal for, I mean, I'm sure if you guys follow me on social media or anything like that, you know, we're always posting pictures of him.
Yeah.
But Carrie's doing good. Cute. And did I tell you, honestly, it's been having a kid, you don't realize like, there's like a level of like your pursuit of God that you don't realize until like you have a kid. You know, and like mom and dad's told me that.
Oh, yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, yeah, you know, I mean, I'm sure you're probably right. But, you know, you just can't even like level with it. And then like one, now that Riker's here, you know, Riker Jeffers, Riker Hayes Jeffers. Is his name, and he was a whopping 10.5 coming out, and he's 2 months old now, and
probably weighs more than my four-year-old.
15 and a half pounds right now, so he is an absolute chunk, but seeing
he's a blast, though, but it's so different, isn't
it? It's crazy. I mean, holding basically what feels like pure innocence in your hand, I mean, they're just like, you know, I mean, obviously other than you know, the sin that we're born into, just stepping into an unfiltered, just untouched by the world, human being, you know, it's really miraculous, you know, and not even to think about the fact that if you look at the birth of a child as evidence for Christ, like that's just one of the most evidential things.
Crazy.
You can say. I mean, it doesn't even make sense if there's not a creator, if there's not a God, it doesn't even make sense. That it just speaks to life in Christ. And so if anything, the past couple weeks, past couple months has been very, I hate that we've had to take off the podcast from being, you know, so overwhelmed with things and whatnot, but it's been really good though. I mean, cause I feel like me and Carrie's grown closer together. And now that Riker's here, you know, I feel like we've both grown closer to God because we've seen God in, you know, in so many areas. And so it's been really good, but I'm excited to be back.
Even answered prayers just concerning Riker.
Absolutely.
And a few of his little things, not anything major, but he's had some health issues a couple times. And
yeah, he's got some milk allergies and stuff like that. But
I remember when Josiah was born, my son, that was definitely a faith walk. Just the things that he went through. I mean, he had surgery less than a week old, and all kinds of different things.
He was in ICU, right?
ICU, or he was. He was in the which it was hilarious because he was not like a huge baby, but compared to the rest of the NICU babies, because he wasn't that premature. I mean, he was like maybe a week early, I think maybe a week early. And so he looked huge in there, and now he's really not that big of a kid, though, you know. But you know, that's one thing that, man, life will get you. The being a parent, working, just growing up. So I mean, a lot of our listeners, you're young adults. Some of you guys are in your 40s, 50s, 60s plus, you know. But life just always finds a way to get busy.
Always, yeah. Always.
It always does. And you know, I've heard people often say, if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. And I kind of believe it, but at the same time, I'm like, I don't think he needs to do that. I think we do that for ourselves.
We do, yeah. I mean,
we do that for ourselves.
We fill our lives with so much stuff.
And I think part of the problem with that, I look around and I look at our Western culture and what's happened in the last couple years, and things were already in play, but the pandemic and so many things, it just
sped it up so fast.
It sped things up so much. And so I look, and really politics is the new religion. You know, which side of the aisle are you on? If you try to be remotely moderate in things, one side or the other is going to chew you up, spit you out for it. and we are just rapidly advancing into, we already had it, but it's just become, it's more so even the forefront of everything is this post-Christian culture.
Mm-hmm. And you'll probably see us, you'll probably hear us talking about that a lot in some of our future episodes, because that's
because kind it's of become a, the predominant
it has become,
culture of America.
Yes. And so that's going to probably be, not necessarily a theme, but you'll probably just hear us talk
about
happens. It a lot.
Well, because that's real life. The whole purpose of this podcast is for real faith to meet real life, and real life is that even in an area like where we're at here in the Bible Belt, post-Christian culture, many of its tenets and things are working their way into our everyday lives through social media, through the internet, people moving here with different viewpoints, and stuff, which is fine. I mean, come on. You know, that's okay, but it's working its way in, and so you'll hear us talk about that. And so I want to real quick, just before we jump in with like the main point for today, I know this is kind of like a long 5-minute introduction. But, you know, post-Christian really means not just that society has moved on past a Christian culture in the terms of morals and values and things like that. Because technically, when we talk about having a Christian culture, we really mean the morals and the values of it, not necessarily that, oh, everybody's really a follower of Jesus. Because in America, you look at the height of church engagement. I would like to think, you know, I think back of some of the great preachers of the past and stuff, and I just think, oh, man, you know, the 1800s, you know, everybody just went to church, didn't they? Every Sunday, everybody in town just went to church and everything. Because we what do? We watch things like Dr. Quinn. I don't know if you guys ever seen Dr. Quinn. Some of you may have no
good
idea
show.
What I'm talking about. Good show. Everybody in town went to church. Yep. You know what I mean? But that actually wasn't necessarily real. And so the height percentage-wise of the largest percentage of Americans engaged with church was actually like in the 50s and 60s. And it always went up in response to crisis. And so, you know, I like to think, oh, 1800s, man, there's just been so many people following God and everything. Everybody was going to church. And yet, that's when we fought the Civil War. And all these other things. And so in the 50s and 60s, it reached that. And so we really had a largely Christian culture.
Right.
There was respect for God. There was respect for the Bible and church and things like that. And respect for what we're going to talk about today, spiritual disciplines, which we want to define that here in a minute, because it's yeah. But we'll get there. So now we've moved on, and it's not just that culture has moved on from Christian morals and values. Post-Christian culture actually means in response to, reactionary against Christian morals and values and culture and things. And so it's funny, though, because in a post-Christian culture, so many of the things that people want, justice, social justice, help for the poor, all of these things. There's so many aspects of it that are kingdom values.
Right, yeah.
They are kingdom of God values. But there's a guy, I'm going to mess up his name, Mark Sayers. Never mind, his name is Mark Sayers. He's from Australia. He's in Melbourne, Australia, very post-Christian culture there in Melbourne. And he does a podcast with a guy named John Mark Comer. And it's called This Cultural Moment. And one of the things that Mark Sayers says, he's like, they want the kingdom without its king.
Kind of what we've talked about in the past, taking the gospel out of it.
Yeah.
We've talked about that on the podcast. I mean, you see that so often.
Give us all the best ideals and the best values and the best things that would make life good about Jesus, minus Jesus.
Right. What makes us good people?
Let us pick and choose what we
makes
want.
Us feel good about ourselves.
Exactly. Exactly. And so so that's kind of post-Christian. And so what I'm seeing, though, is if we're gonna really reach people, we can't just become more secular as the church. We can't, like, the days of, don't get me wrong, you know, Paul was like, basically, I'll do anything short of sin to reach people. I've become all things to all men, you know what I mean? And don't get me wrong, you know, he probably didn't take it as far as some people have in the 20th and 21st century, but we can't, like, I think the days of attractional church they're gone. They've reached their peak. And so we see now this kind of turn of many churches that were growing before the pandemic or even continue to grow after the pandemic or during the pandemic, I guess I should say, since it's technically not over. But they were – it's not just emotion just to get up into it, but it's a little bit more of a charismatic manifestation of the faith.
Right, okay.
In terms of, you know, we're not afraid to raise our hands in worship. We're not afraid for people to shout. Pray with tears, you know, things like that, even into the what we would truly consider around here like charismatic in terms of maybe speaking in tongues or things like that or whatever. You know what I mean? Right. Some things that we may not necessarily agree with, but those were the groups that were kind of growing. And I think one of the reasons is they were not trying to become more and more secular to attract the world with the world, but they were trying to be the most authentic and raw that they could be. And so I see a great deal of weak Christianity in America.
Mm-hmm.
You might even just say fake Christianity. I see a great many weak Christians mm-hmm. in a lot of the Western world. It's not just America, Canada, Australia, these kind of places. You know, if you read stuff and you listen to people and you're hearing their experiences where they're at, it's the same as it is here in America in a Western civilization. And I just wonder, what's the problem?
They're just brittle, you know? I mean, yes. And that's I guess, a fragile way that you could put it, but it's a truthful way of putting it.
They're brittle and their faith is weak.
It can be strayed. It can be swept away by, you know, flashy materials and flashy things, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Because they want to go so far as to, and we talk about this a lot too, they want to go as far to get into heaven, but they don't want heaven to get into them.
Yes.
Okay, so they only step out.
Kingdom without the king.
Just so far enough to maybe look the part, maybe play the part, whatever the case may be. But yet they don't want to go the actual step to grow out of it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and you know mm-hmm. actually, which I hear when you talk,
about... I want the benefits of Christianity without the costs.
Absolutely, yeah, and that's which I've heard whenever we talk about spiritual disciplines. I've actually heard it referenced to a lot of times, like working out, you know, or bodybuilding, whatever the case may be.
Well, it takes like, discipline. Why are we so weak? Why are we so distracted
mm-hmm.
and so easily caught up in sinful pursuits? And I believe it's because a lack of practicing spiritual disciplines.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Biblical spiritual disciplines. You know, we want to define what that is here in just a moment, but I think that's the answer. And here's why it's so important. If we don't engage in spiritual disciplines, it's just like you said, working out. Man, which confession moment I've not been doing consistently, right? You know, it's like, I think we got caught up in different things the last few months. We would go on vacation, all that stuff. And so, you know, it's time for me to kind of get a little more serious about it again and get back to eating better and working out. When I do that, I'm not jumping straight in and going like 100% max effort, working out 6 days a week, 7 days a week. No, like I'm going to hurt myself if I do that. You know, I'm going to hurt myself or I'm going to burn out and quit doing it.
Well, not only that, but it's not like right you want to do it.
Yeah, right now I can tell a difference in my body where I've not worked out.
Right.
And I'm not talking about just how it looks, it's just how I feel. You know what I mean? It feels weaker, a little more sluggish, whatever. And spiritually, that's where so many of us are.
Mm-hmm.
Man, we're so sluggish spiritually, we can't do it. And here's why it matters so much. If we don't engage in these disciplines, we're never going to grow. And if we don't grow in the faith, we're not going to be able to defend the faith. We're not going to be able to engage in the mission, in the kingdom mission that's given by God. We weren't saved mm-hmm. from our sin just to come and sit and listen to somebody. Or to just come and say hi to everybody and have a little social club at church. That's not what salvation's for. We're saved for a purpose, with a mission to go into a world that in many ways is hostile to our faith, is hostile to the gospel, is mm-hmm. hostile to Jesus, and be light and salt.
Absolutely. And I love how Grant Hasey puts it. You know, we had mm-hmm. an interview with him. If you go back and listen to him, he mentioned that a lot. But he constantly referenced the word.
Was that 12 or
13? Yes, I think 13, maybe something like that.
But kids have left the building.
When you go through it and you listen to some of the conversations that we had, which Grant's a great guy. You know, he leads a church up there. But their mission is to be fluid. It's to be fluid with their church. Okay? And he constantly talks about being fluid with his church. He constantly talks about not just going out and saying, hey, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church. Because it's not like the only good things that can happen in church. He's not just always going out there and just being like, come to church so that we can serve you at church.
Mm-hmm.
Come to church so we can love you at church. Come to church so we can bless you at church. He's not doing that. He's saying, he's going out and he's saying, hey, and this is what he keeps saying. He keeps saying, he's like, the church should meet you where you are. The church
absolutely.
Should go out and meet people where they are. And that's what they're doing. Is they're not saying, you know, hey, come to church so we can bless you, so we can serve you, whatever. They're like, let me serve you where you're at.
Yeah, well, you go back and you look at America after the Second World War, and maybe even somewhat after probably the Great Depression, before mm-hmm. World War II. But Second World War and everything, who took over welfare of the poor? Who took over taking care of communities?
Hmm.
The government.
Mm-hmm.
And so the church is no longer out in the streets. The church is no longer out where people are taking care of them, meeting needs. and you had, you know, and it took a while for it to catch up, but it's definitely caught up now.
Right, yeah.
And churches aren't reaching out doing these things. The churches back then in so many towns and communities were cultural hubs, you know, and there were so many people in the 50s and 60s that they went to church and everything. And what I see is I think we're still stuck in that mindset, stuck in that model of if we can just get people to church,
right,
then it'll all just be gravy from there.
Right, right.
We'll have the best programs. We'll have the best, you know, music or preaching or whatever you want to put in the blank. Well, if we can just get them here, it'll take care of itself.
This is why we need spiritual discipline, okay?
Yes.
Because we see people that we go out, and here's why this happens. Because they go out and they say, well, you know what? I don't feel equipped to serve them the right way,
mm-hmm.
or maybe to answer their questions the right way. So let me invite them to church so my pastor,
so somebody or some else,
teachers, or somebody
who is equipped,
so that they can you know, bless them or serve them or teach them or give them the answers that they need to, because
mm-hmm.
I'm not equipped enough to be able to do it out in the field, okay? And so if I'm not equipped enough to do it out in the field, then I just say, okay, well, you know what? I can do is I can invite them to church.
Absolutely.
You know? Which, in a sense, hey, if you're a young person out there, you know, especially if you're a middle school or something, listen to this,
mm-hmm.
and you, it's okay to still be young in your faith, and if you don't have to know all the answers.
Right.
And that can be a good atmosphere to say, hey, come to church. I don't have all the
right.
answers, but I know people too.
Right.
But the more you get and the more and growth and faith that you have, the more mature that you get, I mean, there comes a point where you can't just, okay, well, come to church. I don't have the answers. You know, come to church so you can get the answers. We have to know the answers. We have to be
yes.
equipped to go out into the field and meet people where they're at and answer the questions where they're at and love them where they're at and serve them where they're at and teach them about Jesus where they're at.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to be equipped. And that's really what this is about. And that's really what's caused our problem, I feel like.
Yeah,
and while we are where
so.
We are,
I think it's a lack of spiritual disciplines, and we're going to kind of define that here in a moment. What we mean by spiritual disciplines, okay? It kind of sounds like a scary word because we don't like the
kinda
word.
Is
we kind of yeah, it is. We don't like the word discipline. You know,
it's not easy,
and so it's not easy. But the lack of spiritual disciplines, I think, is the cause in the decline of authentic followers of Jesus.
Oh, 100%.
I think it's the cause of the lack of adherence to the way of Jesus Christ in America.
100%.
Is a lack of spiritual disciplines, because we just want to dip our toes in the water. We want to get in enough to say that we're in, but not be totally in.
Mm-hmm.
And so instead, we're stuck in the shallow end of the pool.
Absolutely, yeah.
Instead of going out in the deep
end. So what can we do?
So what we need to do is we need to begin to engage in spiritual disciplines, because here's the deal. We'll kind of say what they are. So they're behaviors, first of all. Spiritual disciplines are behaviors, not really attitudes. There's a difference in, say, prayer versus gratitude.
Right.
Gratitude is more of an attitude that I work to cultivate. Prayer is actually something that I do. And it may be part of me cultivating gratitude, maybe something that is cultivated through mm-hmm. prayer and through things I do to other people. Or another example would be Scripture, and I'll use the word intake, because this can take so many different forms. We may say Bible study, we may say Bible reading, we may say, you know, whatever it happens to
right.
be. You may journal. There's so many forms it can take. So I want to say Scripture intake, because that kind of gives the idea of we're actually trying to take it
yeah.
in
like
and
that.
Get it in our
I like
heart.
That. I've never heard it like that. I like that.
So Scripture intake versus, say, patience. Patience, again, is more of an attitude, more of a fruit of the Spirit, really.
Mm-hmm.
If we go read Galatians 5, it's a fruit of the Spirit. And so that's kind of two different things. The Scripture intake is, again, more of a habit, an action, things that we do that we develop. Patience, you know, again, for the Spirit, something that almost like an attitude we have. So these disciplines themselves, what they are then, they're actions, they're things, that habits that we build that are, and they're means. They're the means by which we grow in our faith. And therefore are able to produce more fruit of the Spirit. Or I should say the Spirit's able to produce more of His fruit in us. You know, and so I go look at like 1 Timothy 4. All right, so 1 Timothy 4 says, you know, if you point these things out to the brothers and sisters, Paul's writing to Timothy and he's admonishing him. He's saying, hey, you got to be the leader here, right? You know, you've served with me and we've raised you up as a leader in the church here. You need to lead these people. You'll be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished by the words of the faith and the good teaching that you have followed. But I have nothing to do with pointless and silly myths. Rather, and here's what I really want to focus on, rather, train yourself in godliness. Hmm. Train yourself in godliness. And I look at Christianity in the West, ain't no training going on. I mean, there is. Don't get me wrong. There's plenty of it going on in certain areas. But we, by and large, we have moved into a post-Christian culture. And so the ones who are really training for the right reasons, spirit-led, gospel-driven in the spiritual disciplines are really becoming a minority. They're becoming a remnant, which gives me hope because every time I look in the scripture where there's a remnant, you know, I mean, God moves again through them. But you know, we train our bodies. And he goes on and he says, for the training of the body has limited benefit, but godliness is beneficial in every way.
Well, and I like that you said that, because there's a key point right there that I feel like we can't really miss in that, is that you said for the right reasons, okay? And spiritual discipline, it can be, in a sense, it can be a very dangerous thing, okay? Because it can stroke mm-hmm. our pride, it can stroke our ego, and it can, in an instant, turn us into just another one of the Pharisees. Then it's because same thing happened to them, is they turned to this legalistic, just rule, traditional following. Look at me, look at what I'm doing.
Absolutely.
And this is the point of spiritual discipline. You have to understand that it's not about your glory. It's not about what mm-hmm. you're doing. It's not about your action. So it's not about reading the Bible and praying and how much you're fasting and all these other things that we're about to talk about. It's not about that. It's not about the action. So there's a reason why you're doing that behind the action. Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just like the same sense. If we don't go over this, you know, then this could be the same. When we say, okay, well, you need to do these things. Well, this, you know, then the whole, you know, faith and works thing, you know, gets thrown up there. And they're like, okay, well, aren't you just doing works? Okay, well, no. Okay, this
right.
happens just the way with our faith and our works does. So the reason why we do this is not because I want to just work, not just because I want to, you know, be holier than somebody else or because I want to be glorified in it. The whole reason that I am doing this is so that I can become closer and I can become more like Jesus, because Jesus is the end. And you know, I kind of like how you said that this is the ends means right here, and that this Jesus mm-hmm. is the end.
Yeah.
That's where I want to be. So spiritual discipline is basically just a means to that end of becoming more like Jesus. Okay, that is our way of doing that. That is our route. That is our road. That is our guide. That is our instruction manual. This is something that we can habitually practice so that we can become more like Jesus, so we can become closer to Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
That's the end goal.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I look, and like you said, Jesus is the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole point of spiritual disciplines is that training in godliness. So the fact that I read my Bible every day is not in and of itself a mark of godliness.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not just a checklist, you know, that we do.
It's we can't say people who read their Bibles every day must be Christian. Like, that's not the case. I could read the Bible every day and be lost as anybody.
Absolutely, yeah.
And be lost as anybody. But a Christian who is obeying Jesus and following him in his way
mm-hmm.
is going to be doing these things.
Absolutely.
So they're not marks of salvation. They're not marks of godliness. The fruits of the Spirit are your marks of godliness.
Right. This is your roadmap to growth in Jesus. And this is exactly
these
what
are the
is.
Ways that these are the habits and the actions and the things that we engage in surrender to God, that he then grows the fruits of the Spirit in us through these things. So
for sure.
If I'm practicing spiritual disciplines, there is going to be more joy in my life.
100%.
There's going to be more love in my life. Peace, patience, kindness. All of those marks of a growing Christian, the fruits of the Spirit from Galatians 5, they're going to be evident in my life if I am engaging in spiritual disciplines for the right reasons in the right ways. And so kind of going back to that, you know, the Pharisees, goodness, you know, I look at the Pharisees and they were absolutely steeped in the spiritual disciplines.
Absolutely.
They prayed.
This is what they
fasted
all
twice
day long.
A week. They knew the scriptures better than anybody. They engaged in the corporate worship practices, you know, of first century Judaism and everything. And yet they were some of the most ungodly people in the New Testament,
mm-hmm.
you know. So like Luke 18, real quick, throw this in here for you. Luke 18, you know, Jesus told a parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous. And that's the whole point of like these spiritual disciplines, is that as we engage them, we have to have the attitude of, I read an article and he really drew this out. He said it has to be gospel driven, because as you engage in spiritual disciplines, especially for the right reasons, you're going to come face to face with just how ungodly you are.
Mm-hmm.
And if it's not gospel-driven, the believers, we don't – I feel like around here – and again, this has to do with this self-righteousness. Oh, I am – look at me. Right. I know these deeper truths of the faith, and I know these deeper things because I read my Bible all the time. And so as believers, somehow we end up with this idea of there's the gospel, and then there's like these deeper truths of the Christian faith, like the meat and potatoes. Yes. And I'm like – if it isn't all gospel driven, and if it all isn't, because that's the beauty of the gospel. It's almost like a paradox. It's like it's simple enough that we can understand it in the beginning, and yet it's complex enough and beautiful and wonderful enough and wondrous enough that we can search the depths of it the rest of our lives and never fully like.
Absolutely, yeah.
Awesome. And so every day, if I'm reading scripture, if I'm praying, I'm thinking, oh man, here I was thinking I was doing better, God, and I'm realizing more and more how wicked I am. Mm-hmm. I need the gospel. I need the good news that you will forgive me, that first of all, me doing these things does not secure my salvation. That's only secured through the work, the finished work of Jesus Christ. His perfect sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, the shed blood of Jesus is what secures my salvation. I am eternally declared righteous by his righteousness, justified. But I must take an active part every day in my progressive sanctification.
Right.
I already have justification. He's already said, I look at you as if you'd never sinned. I look at you as righteous as I see my own son because grace. His blood is applied to you. Grace through faith. And then we get even more grace. Grace through faith that as I do these things, God's going to continue to produce more godliness in me, that I'm going to become more purified, that my mind, my will, my heart, my emotions, my desires, all of those things are going to become more in alignment with his. But the Pharisees did all these things and didn't come to that place because, as he said, they were trusting in themselves. And so there's, you know, he gives this parable, this Pharisee and a tax collector, and the Pharisee's like standing there and he's praying. He's like, God, thank you so much that I'm not like these other people. Thank you that I'm not greedy, unrighteous, adulterers, or even like this tax collector over here. And I always point this out. I can't help myself. I've always found this so fascinating. I read the New Testament, and in the Gospels, there's always like, oh, look at Jesus. He eats with sinners and tax collectors. And it's like they're the worst of the worst or something. And so he's like, I fast twice a week. I give a tenth of everything I get. And Jesus is like, but that tax collector, he was standing far off. He wouldn't even raise his eyes to heaven. He's face down. He kept beating his chest, striking his chest, saying, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And Jesus, this is the beauty of this one. He says, I tell you, this one, the tax collector, went down to his house justified rather than the other. Because everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but the one who humbles himself will be exalted. And so when we engage in spiritual disciplines, it's a humility. It's oh my goodness, I wouldn't have to be doing these if I was perfect.
Yeah.
If I didn't have things wrong with me, I wouldn't have to be doing this. I wouldn't need this reliance upon God, but I do. And so, you know, we really need them for that. The way we go about them is important. It's got to be gospel-driven. It's got to be spirit-led. I'm coming and I'm placing myself under the authority of Jesus Christ every single day as I engage in these. I'm not waking up and just, because let me tell you, I do this sometimes. And I'm not saying if you don't feel like you're fully surrendered, then don't read the Bible. But like there's days that I'll be like, I use the YouVersion Bible app a lot of times for Bible study plans. And it's like, I'll catch myself, man, I'm not feeling it right now. Mm-hmm. And I'll open it up and I'll read it just because it's check the box. I did it. Right. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to fall behind. I don't want to do this or that. And it's like, well, that's not really the right reason. But I'm putting myself under the authority of Jesus Christ, which we don't like as a culture.
And you're continuing in the habit.
Yes.
You're not letting yourself get out of it.
You know, I don't just want to speak to a crisis. You need spiritual disciplines when life's going really well too. Mm-hmm. But when the crisis hits, the spiritual disciplines are what keep people connected to God in those moments.
Right.
You know, if I'm not in a habit of praying, I'm probably not going to be very good at it.
Right.
When crisis hits, I'm only going to be focused on what I get from God instead of really giving him worship for who he is in the moment. You know, and so.
So what is this roadmap? How what are these things? How can we grow? What is some steps that we can do to make this growth
happen? Let's get practical.
Happen?
Let's get practical with it. They need to be biblically prescribed. Okay, they need to be biblically prescribed or biblically modeled. Mm. Okay, there's two extremes that we can avoid in how we do these, or even what we do specifically, what we choose as a spiritual discipline, by following what is in Scripture, what we find in the New Testament. And the first thing we do is we avoid doing things that are really of little or no actual biblically spiritual benefit. See, when the New Testament, like when Paul would talk about the spiritual man, that was only somebody who was a follower of Jesus, who had the Holy Spirit residing in them.
Right.
The opposite of that he referred to as the natural man. So you take somebody who's not a Christian, who's not placed their faith in Jesus Christ, they can engage in what some people might call spiritual disciplines. They could engage in meditation. They could engage in even reading the Christian scriptures. But it doesn't mean it's going to produce greater godliness in them because they don't have the Spirit inside of them.
Right.
So we're talking really to Christians here, and it must be biblically prescribed, okay, something that's actually in there. Otherwise, we could just try to say that anything that we do that we feel pleasure from is a spiritual discipline.
Right. We're growing.
We could say, hey, I'm working out, and that makes me feel better and more at peace, and that's my spiritual discipline. Or I really like to garden, or I like to walk in the woods, or whatever. Those can be aspects of how you engage in the spiritual disciplines, but just being outside in nature in and of itself is not a spiritual discipline.
Right.
Yeah, that's something that comes from like enlightenment, transcendentalism, romanticism thought from like the 1800s. You know, it was this return to nature, this pursuit of the sublime in nature and everything.
Right.
That's not really a spiritual discipline. So it needs to be biblically prescribed. And that we also, if we practice what's in the scriptures, what's biblically prescribed and how it's prescribed and what's modeled for us there, we avoid, there's some that are like, oh, we're going to seek hidden, kind of unmediated knowledge of God that's not directly from Scripture. We're going to sit and we're going to empty our mind through meditation. We're going to allow God to impress thoughts upon us and everything. And I got news for people. Meditation in the Scriptures is certainly not an emptying of the mind like it is in like Eastern religions.
Mm-hmm.
It is that, well, one of the words used for it, you would translate it literally as ruminate.
Hmm.
Do you know what rumination is?
Mm-mm.
It's when cows chew stuff, swallow it, and spit up the cud and chew it again.
Really?
Yeah. And so it's this idea of you're sitting long and chewing hard on it. You know, it's kind of where we get that word, oh, I need to sit and chew on that.
Yeah, okay.
You know what I mean?
Okay,
and so that's
right,
literally
yeah.
the idea of scriptural meditation is like, I'm chewing on this long and hard, thinking long and hard about this, taking in the scriptures. And I'm purposely focusing on it.
Right. It's very intentional.
And over and over again. It's not an emptying of my mind. And so we avoid those extremes. And so what we do is we look in Scripture, and we're only going to give you a quick list of a few things, but we need to engage them regularly, and they're born out of a desire that God actually puts within us. You know, in Philippians, he said, Philippians 2, you know, one of the things he says, he actually says, for it's God who is working in you, both to will and to work.
Hmm.
So in other words, the Holy Spirit puts the desires within you. And so if you are truly a believer,
you have a desire to grow.
You have a desire to grow. There's a desire there to be with God's people. There's a desire there to read the scriptures. There's a desire there to pray with God. And you might shove it off and not do those things, but it just keeps coming back. Mm-hmm. And so that's why we hear people who are believers like, man, I don't read anymore, but I really want to. You know what I mean? They have a thirst. They have a desire for it. And so it's born out of that desire.
Just, real quick.
Go for it.
A lot of times.
I'm talking a lot. You go
no,
for it.
No, it's cool. A lot of times we mistake that feeling of I'm not where I'm supposed to be for, man, maybe God doesn't want me anymore. Maybe I've lost my salvation. Maybe I've stepped too far.
Or maybe
away.
I was never saved in the
or
first
maybe
place.
Maybe I was never saved in the first place. But mm-hmm. like, and I see that so often, especially, you know, I work with I teach the college and career class around here.
Mm-hmm.
And I see most kids that are my age, anywhere from, you know, 18 years old all the way up to, you know, your early 30s, something like that. And so I see a lot of different age groups, but one thing that remains the same for all of them struggle with this. In some way, some form or fashion, because we're all going through really getting heavy with our relationships, getting married,
yes.
Having kids, We're going through college. We're graduating college. We're trying to figure out what we're going to do with our life. We're getting jobs.
It's like
careers.
The adulthood equivalent of middle school.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, I mean, it's like you're, because you're in that transition, you know. So everything
can be
hectic.
Awkward.
Everything's really, really busy, and so you don't have as you should be making time, but you just feel like you don't have time for God. Mm-hmm. You feel like you don't have time for ministry, going to church. For fellowshipping with each other, you feel like you don't have time for these things, and so therefore you don't put time and attention to them. And then you start to feel that weighing on you, where, oh, I'm not where I should be. But instead of feeling it as, okay, I'm not where I should be, I should get back, I should be growing, I want to grow, it's, oh man, well maybe I lost my salvation, maybe I'm not where I'm supposed to be. Okay, and so then that has a problem with that, because mm-hmm. then they feel ashamed to go to church, or they feel ashamed
yes.
to get back into things. Okay,
we
so
let
if there's anybody
yeah,
there listening
that's a good
to
way
that,
to put it.
I want them to understand that like that's not it. Okay, if you have accepted Christ in your heart, okay, that's what grace is. Okay, because grace abounds no matter how far you can go. Okay, if you
absolutely.
Accepted God, then He's there and He's there forever, and He wants you to come back for Him. And that nudge is not a oh my goodness I'm just the most guilty person in the world. I'm so far away that I've fallen off the earth. God doesn't want me anymore. It's not like that. That nudge mm-hmm. is God telling you, hey, I'm still here. I'm still
right.
with you. I want you to grow. I want you to be practicing spiritual discipline because I want you to be closer to me. That's what that is, okay? And so don't get confused. Don't get discouraged. Don't feel ashamed to come back to church or to talk to a friend
Amen.
Or whatever the case may be.
Amen.
Use that nudge for what it really is, which is God telling you, hey, I'm still here. Mm-hmm. I still want you. Come take the step and grow with me.
Absolutely. It goes back to the idea of justification. Mm. Once you've been declared justified by God, that's never reversed.
Absolutely.
He will not reverse that. There's no shadow of turning with Him, as I think it was John, one of John's letters that says that. You know, he's not going to change His mind about you.
Mm-hmm.
Forever you are declared justified. Now, be continually sanctified,
absolutely,
and purified
yeah.
through these spiritual disciplines. So the obvious ones, and this is what happens though, is we talk about it. I think we don't talk about these things with enough fervor, with enough excitement, with enough like, oh, these are beautiful privileges.
Right.
Yes, it's discipline in the sense of there are things you're going to want to do instead. It takes work on your part, but the benefits of it are amazing. And so, you know, I heard a quote. One of the guys saying was that Hollywood makes fake things look real, and Christians do a good job of making real things look fake. And I was like, oh, like, but it's true.
Truth, yeah.
Wow, it was so true. And so we're like, oh, you know, and that's the thing. I've heard a lot of preachers, like, the first thing I ask when people come to me for counseling or with problems, like, are you reading your Bible and praying? We've heard it so many times, especially in an area like ours, and we're like, oh, here we go again, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, but it's like, but you can't overstate their importance. So the first two I've got on my list here of biblical spiritual disciplines that are actually prescribed, right? Prescribed by the writers of the New Testament. Bible intake is the word I like to use, because that could be reading. It certainly needs to at some point be the intense study beyond just I read two chapters today. It needs to be, what was really going on here? What is God actually saying through this passage? What was the purpose of it initially? You know, actually doing some intense study of it. It could be the preaching of the word. It could be just talking about the Bible with people, collective Bible study like that, personal Bible study. All of a sudden, it's also a Bible intake. I cannot overstate the importance of that, because if it weren't for God's special revelation, where He has specifically revealed His will, His character, who He is, who His Son is as the person of Jesus Christ in the Scriptures, we would have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
We would absolutely not know who He was, anything about Him. All we would kind of just know from creation, as Paul would say, that, oh, there is a creator. There's certainly a perfect creator out there, but how are we going to relate to Him?
Right.
Got to have Scripture, okay? Prayer. Prayer is next on my list here, and this can take so many different forms.
Mm-hmm.
It might be there was a nice little acrostic. You remember back in the day when everybody used acrostics for like all their preaching points and everything.
Yeah.
I got tired of that, but in seminary, this was a really good one because it was easy to remember.
I don't know. I feel like you still see it a lot around here.
You still see it sometimes. The word was cast, C-A-S-T, cast, which was really convenient because what are we told by Peter? cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you. And so it was really convenient cast. Confession, adoration, supplication, and thanksgiving. So let's break those down. Confession, which, by the way, I would consider a spiritual discipline in and of itself. Mm-hmm. We have to develop the habit of confession of our sin, of constantly, this is like a taking stock, you know, like if, you know, if I've been working outside or something, I come inside or go feed my dog, you know, I'm kind of inspecting myself. Like, yeah, I'm kind of dirty. I got some mud on me and different things like that. I need to wash that off and take care of that. That's kind of the same with confession. It's like, oh, I'm declared righteous, but man, I got some dirt on my feet from the world where I've been out in it and everything. I need to clean that up. So confession, we're bringing ourselves into alignment with God. We're surrendering to him. We're actually confessing and admitting our sins to him. Adoration. We are ascribing worship to God, saying, you're worthy. You're the only one that's worthy of everything of my being, all my heart, all my soul, all my strength, all my mind. You're worthy of it all, God. That's adoration. Supplication, we ask God for things. He says to ask him for things, but not just for me. I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to pray for the people around me. And then, of course, thanksgiving, so cast. It's just talking to God. It's asking things in his will. It's praising him, praying his words back to him. It can be individual prayer, just you and God. It can be corporate prayer. I highly encourage you, if you are a believer and you feel like, man, I'm really falling away, I'm backslidden, if you want to use, you know, kind of a local term, you know, that kind of thing, get back to church, or at the very least, actually, even if not to church services, this may happen in baby steps for you. Get to other believers. Mm-hmm. Find a buddy, find a friend, find me, find Caleb, find somebody that you know is a believer who's, you know, they're stable in their faith, they're mature in their faith. You can pray with them.
Absolutely.
We need to pray with other people.
And that's so important, you know, really. And I don't necessarily want to take up all of our time focusing just strictly on prayer, you know, because there's so many of them. But I do just want to say a couple things about prayer.
Good?
Because
go with it, though.
I feel like prayer is such...
And we may, I do want to say that we may throw out some shorter videos on the YouTube.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
About each of these.
You could go into so much detail. Yeah. You could go into so many different things. But I just feel like prayer is such a staple because, yes, your Bible reading is important or your Bible intake, as you say, is very, very important. And of course it is. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like prayer is just like such like a next level, next step, just because like I can pray the Bible.
Well, if we want to go back to our analogy, the Bible is going to be kind of like your healthy diet to get in shape, and prayer is a whole lot of your spiritual exercise.
Well, if there's different ways to do the Bible, and of course you know what I'm talking about. Whenever we're prepping for a sermon or a teaching or whatever the case may be, you can't really get the intake for the scripture, you know, because you're really not necessarily studying it. You're more as you're trying to get the scriptures and the references, and you know there's not a lot of intake time.
Well, it depends on how you're doing it. You know, there is intake, but it's intake with a different end in mind.
Right.
A different goal in mind.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. It's different than just sitting there and like your only purpose is not like, it's not like you're trying to get this so I can regurgitate it in another way to other people. It's just like I'm sitting here and I'm literally just like what you said on it. I'm munching on it. I'm just sitting here trying to take it all in. And so I just think it's cool that, you know, with prayer being is I can, you know, I basically if I'm reading the Bible right, and if I'm reading the Bible intentionally, I am praying when I'm reading the Bible.
Yes.
You know, that is prayer.
I can pray it back to
God. I can pray it back to God, you know. And so I just feel like prayer is so important, but also such a overlooked in our generation, you know. And I don't want to spend too much time on it, like I said, because we are actually going to do a whole series on prayer. We still might do it.
Yeah, we thought about doing an episode, a whole episode on prayer because – and again, and I think I can't overstate how important these are because one of the things that the church did – this was kind of late 90s, early 2000s. One of the things they started looking at is saying, okay, we're really in the midst of a post-Christian culture, and we need to treat it like it's a foreign mission field, in a sense, because it's changed so much. We need to go at it different ways. And what they found was when they went back into this Christian culture and treated it like truly, truly like a mission field, as if they were going to, you know, foreign Africa or something. Because if you and I go to Africa, you know, if we successfully plant a church in Africa and 20 years later we come back and they're all wearing suits and dresses and singing like old English hymns from the 1800s, like something's wrong. That's not culturally contextual to Africa, to where they were at. You know what I mean? Like something's wrong. And so what they got this mindset, and they're like, okay, well, let's go do mission in these inner cities and in these big cities that are post-Christian, and let's meet them where they're at. And this was the whole, you know, to be, you know, 20 years ago, to be on the cutting edge of all this, all you had to do was dim the lights, you know, which I was guilty of doing with the youth for, you know, way long after it was probably they appreciated it, like, you know.
It kind of provide
the ambiance, you know, there to it and everything, and wear cool clothes, you know. And I never wore skinny jeans. I thought those were, I just never got into that, but you know, it was like the wear the Tom shoes and the skinny jeans and everything, and do all this stuff, let people have their coffee and all the things. There's nothing wrong with any of that, but what they found was that they were trying to be basically very secular in how they approach things, and because it was a culture that wasn't just like pre-Christian, it was truly post-Christian and reactionary against Christianity, they ended up influencing the Christians more than the Christians influenced them.
Well, the gospel, we know for sure, the gospel is offensive, okay? And we've tried to bring it into our churches gently and make it as gentle, especially to our younger believers, because you know, there does seem to be a sensitivity there in areas, and we try to be gentle with them, but all, you know, we can't necessarily do that because the gospel is
raw. What they did was
they tried to
meet the culture where it was at without really understanding where it was coming from.
Right. Okay, yeah, I get you.
And so they're like, okay, well, this failed, you know, in some cases miserably, but this failed. And the reason was the lack of spiritual disciplines. Mm-hmm. They weren't strong enough in the faith. And so it's true. If we can get people on mission and out in the world and everything, their faith will grow. Mm-hmm. We've seen it happen.
Right.
But it has to be kind of scaffolded for them. It has to be a little bit of there has to be lots of equipping. Yeah. Lots of equipping, lots of hand-holding in the beginning of like, hey, we're going to have you do this, we're going to have you do that, you know, but really making sure we're debriefing people as they go out and they try to witness and they try to share their faith so that they're not overcome by the world because of this lack of spiritual discipline. So we can't overstate the importance of it.
We'll come back to prayer. We'll come back to that in another episode or something, because there's like so much you could talk to that. But the next one I really like. I'll let you continue. But the next one.
Oh, okay. Are we going in order?
Sure.
Over our list? All right. So this is kind of – the next one is a subset of prayer. Mm-hmm. If realistically, it ties into prayer.
But
and
this
that is
so distant to our generation, to the world that we live
unless
in.
Unless you exercise. Unless you're big into fitness, and then they've heard of it for the wrong, for
you've
different
heard it,
reasons.
Yeah, for wrong reasons. Yeah, not intentionally wrong
reasons. You guessed
reason,
it. But fasting. Right? And so if you're big into fitness or exercise, you've heard of intermittent fasting. That's my timer letting me know we've hit 45. All right, so good. We'll wrap it up soon. But, man, fasting, historically and most accurately, the idea of fasting is the willful withholding of food in order to focus the mind and the heart on God. Not just to be like, oh, I fasted this week twice like the Pharisees,
right?
You know, and look at me. And part of it, you know, I look in Matthew 6, and Jesus actually looks at his disciples, and he's like, all right, these guys are doing it wrong. Talking about the Pharisees. They're doing it wrong. Let me tell you how to do it right. He says, when you fast. And so there's this assumption by Jesus that his disciples are going to fast.
Right.
Now, part of that could have been a little bit of the religious or cultural background that it was in. But I think it's also like there's a place for it in the life of modern Christians. Mm-hmm. It's been practiced literally since the beginning of the Christian faith.
Right.
And we've lost it today, I feel like. I don't engage in it very regularly. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard. Well, it's very hard, actually. Let's be honest. It's very hard to do this, especially, you know, if you're trying to work out, if you're trying to do everything, leading a very active life where people have diabetes or glucose problems or, you know, blood sugar problems or things like that. You know, it can be very difficult to fast, but there's various ways of doing it that are still, I believe, God-honoring, you know. And so it can take many different forms. It could be I am purposefully going away from some other pleasure in my life besides food, or some other necessity besides food. I'm going to fast from technology or social media in order to refocus myself on God. Mm-hmm. Maybe I am going to fast from food or from certain foods. You know, if you've ever heard people talk about Lent, you know, I've heard people that, you know, you give up things for the time period of Lent. And I've heard people like, I'm going to give up all desserts during Lent or whatever, you know, things like that. Or it could be on this particular day, Caleb and I, there's something going on, or we're burdened about our church being on mission, or people being reached in our community. And Caleb and I are like, all right, every Thursday we're fasting from lunch. Mm-hmm. It's not even a full day. We're going to fast from lunch and get together specifically to pray. We work in different places, I guess it would be, we're just going to pray at the same time. But right. You get the idea.
And I feel like this is kind of the reason why this has gotten, in a sense, I feel like there is reason for this being kind of weeded out of our Christian culture today. Because I feel like, and I want to be careful here, but I feel like we have kind of took that same general approach that, you know, we've brought into the church, and we brought it into fasting as well. Mm-hmm. Because, see, the whole point of fasting is so if I'm fasting from social media, every time that I pick up my phone and I go to get on Facebook and I realize, oh, well, I deleted it today, or you know, I get on it and I see myself on it, the whole point is for fasting is so that when I go get on the Facebook app, I'm like, oh man, well, I'm fasting today. When I get on it, if I'm doing food, every time I feel hungry, the whole purpose for that is to remind me of what I'm intentionally doing today.
Yes.
And so that it's okay. So when I get hungry, it's, oh man, I'm hungry, and I'm not sitting here.
And it's not a let me go gulp a bunch of coffee and water so I don't feel hungry. It's a pray.
Yeah, it's you know, if you got a financial struggle, or if you're just trying to grow closer to God, whatever the case may be, whenever I feel hungry, I'm not just sitting here, I'm focused on, oh my goodness, I'm so hungry. It's, oh man, I'm feeling hungry. Oh yeah, I'm hungry because I'm fasting, and then I intentionally think about, I'm doing this because I want to grow closer to you, God. You know, mm-hmm. mold me, make me today. It can be as simple as that, you know, yep. just a quick reminder. Same thing with social media. And I feel like we have kind of dumbed it down because a lot of people, and see, the social media fast is what a lot of people like to do today. And that can be a great thing, or that can be a bad thing, because like,
I think it needs to be a stepping stone in my opinion.
For me personally, and this is just my view on it, but for me personally, when I look at a social media fast, that doesn't work for me because I don't like social media.
Yeah.
I don't keep Instagram. The only app I keep on my phone is Facebook. And every now and again, if I want to post a picture of Riker or Carrie or something like that, I'll download Instagram, post a picture, and I delete it again because I can't control myself. I find myself going on it for hours or whatever the case may be. So I don't keep it. I don't keep it ever on my phone. The only thing I keep on there is Facebook, and that's just because Facebook Marketplace. But I've gotten to the point now where it's just I don't even need it. And so if I was to sit here and say, oh, well, I'm going to do a social media fast, well, that's
might
not going to do anything for me.
Might be meaningless to
you. Yeah, it's
going
to be meaningless to me. So you want not necessarily to put yourself through torture or pain or whatever, mm-hmm. but it has to be something with an intention behind it, with a meaning behind it. You know, something that is constantly in your life, and you say, you know what, well, I'm gonna replace that with Jesus. I'm going to replace that
And
with...
I would say this about any of these spiritual disciplines. If you're not in the habit, it's just like any other discipline, any other habit, you need to begin small. But these are different from other things because of the Holy Spirit will be working within mm-hmm. you to accomplish these. And so, you know, with fasting, the expectation, like we said, is that it's really an extension of prayer, that I'm going to devote the focus or the time or whatever that I would have given to food or social media or TV or whatever it is, I'm going to devote that to God instead. Mm-hmm. And then to kind of wrap this up, so a lot of those, the ones we've mentioned so far, tend to be more individual focused, scripture intake, prayer, fasting, very, very individual focused. As a matter of fact, the only time that really you really want a lot of people to know that you're fasting is maybe if you're fasting together. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, Jesus actually says, when you fast, no, don't distort your face like the Pharisees and make it obvious. He's like, wash your face, take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. Don't make it obvious that you're fasting. Your Father who sees you praying in secret will reward you.
Yeah.
You know, but there are corporate, community-based aspects of many of these spiritual disciplines as well. So going back to confession, I want to wrap this up quick, but going back to confession, you're like, wait a minute, confession? Who I got to confess to besides God? But James tells us to confess our sins to each other. Now, I don't mean get up in front of the church every time something's going wrong in life and be like, hey, I'm out doing this and doing that and everything. There may be times when you've hurt a lot of people and there maybe needs to be a public confession. Mm-hmm. But I'm talking about, if I am struggling with something, I'm confessing to God. But let's be honest, we're humans. Yes, God, creator of the universe, judge of everything, but I can't see him. God is spirit, I can't see him right now. I can see you. And I can see the look on your face. I can see how you respond. And so we're more afraid to confess our sins to people than we are to God. Plus, I'm secure in my standing with God. I know what he thinks about me. Mm-hmm. I may not always feel it. I don't know how you're going to necessarily take it if I'm like, hey, man, Caleb, I'm really struggling with blah, blah, blah.
Right.
You know? So here's what we do. But and yet, that's in Scripture. It's prescribed by Scripture that we do that. And so what really, it's surrendering to accountability with select, trusted, and mature believers. Not just anybody, not just any random believer that I just know or everybody in the church or anything. Caleb and I are close. You know, if I'm struggling with something, I can be like, you know, hey, Caleb, I'm struggling here. You know, I am always grouchy with my wife. Will you pray for me and will you help me in this discipline of being accountable to that? Check up on me, see how I'm treating, especially seeing as how my wife is your sister. See, you know, check up on me, see how I'm treating, or whatever the case may be. Or you know, man, Caleb, I'm really struggling to be, you know, maybe somebody's having, they're really struggling to be honest in their finances.
Right.
Or whatever the case may be. So that's, you know, with other believers. Worship needs to be with other believers. Yes, mm-hmm. Private worship, but we need to see other Christians worshiping. And I don't just mean, this is not music. This is not just music. Singing to God, praises to God, is part of worship, but it's really a lifestyle of obedience.
Yeah.
And we need to worship together. You know, so we're running out of time. So I'm
going to. I swear, dude, honestly, I feel like.
We could just roll and roll, but so
we could go for like 3 hours on this podcast.
Wrap it up with this. Spiritual disciplines. You need them in your life if you're a believer, or you're never going to feel closer to God. You're never going to be closer to God. And the Holy Spirit is not going to force it on you.
Mm-hmm.
The Holy Spirit is not going to forcibly grow his fruit inside of you.
Mm-hmm.
It only comes by our obedience and our surrender, and that comes through spiritual disciplines. We need to be regular in them. Start small. Start with scripture intake. Start with prayer. And as part of prayer, you know, obviously confess our sins to God. You know, those kind of things. Start small and get in a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church to surround yourselves with other believers so that you can worship with them and fellowship with them, which is more than just chatting over coffee, although in my opinion it should include coffee.
Absolutely.
But it's more than just chatting over coffee. It's a doing life together, holding each other accountable, building each other up, edifying one another in the faith. And so,
guys, we have to be disciplined, okay? The Holy Spirit calls us to grow. We need to grow. I want to grow. I think we should all grow together. We should grow individually. Let's work on it together. I'm so glad to be back with you guys. I'm glad that we're, you know, back up doing the podcast again.
We didn't go for an hour and 20 the first time back.
Yes. We're going to try to keep them a little bit smaller, so they're a little bit easier to listen to and whatnot. But, man, appreciate you guys listening in, all of you guys that are here. If you guys want to listen in, if you guys have heard about us, we are on all the different social media platforms. We are on, if you want to listen to us on the podcast, it's literally anywhere you get your podcast, you can find us, especially iTunes. That's our big one. Look us up on there.
Yep.
If you don't care, leave a review because that helps get the word out just a little bit farther.
Absolutely.
But absolutely. Look us up on YouTube. If you guys want to see us in person, we're on the YouTube channel. It's Crosswalk. If you guys have any questions, we have an email at crosswalk.faith@gmail.com for any questions or themes or anything that you guys want to hear us talk about. But until next time, guys, we really enjoyed having you. Thanks for listening. This is Crosswalk.